Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You know, the stress of setting this a podcast up.
Whose water is this?
Yes.
Get the fucking water out of my side.
Sponsored by Johnny Sexton.
Whose phone is that?
Is that good, Jack? Are we good? Daniel, that when you speak, put the microphone so that you boys can actually use it.
Why don't you chill the fuck out?
Chill the fuck out, David.
We're all here. We're all happy.
Huh? What were you just talking about there? Oh, yeah. You were talking about... Go on.
Headphones for Daniel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
So, folks, you see the background lights. One of the kettle leads was missing, so I had to send Daniel down to the hardware store to get a kettle lead, so that slowed down production. And then framing shots, blah, blah, blah.
The usual saga.
And Aidan Bishop was going to show up, by the way. Sorry, we haven't introduced our guest yet.
It's okay.
But that's okay.
Keep going. You're on the roll.
But anyway, Aidan Bishop was going to show up. And I hadn't seen Aidan. Aidan used to run the International for God knows how long did he run it for? The International Bar, which is in Wexford Street or whatever.
It was 14 years between the two of them, was it?
Wow. Yeah. So, it really was a home club for me. And then this other guy took it over from Aidan, and he was a fucking disaster. And it's
David,
hard.
Hold
I'm not going to say who it fucking is. I'm not
knows.
Saying who it is. I will
horses.
Talk about it. I will talk about it because this is my fucking life. I put
Let
my
it
blood.
Out. Let it out.
I put my blood, sweat, and tears into that fucking shitty little room.
Okay.
So this other dude, you know, ran it into the ground, and it's a pretty difficult thing to do. Not going to say who it is, but it's a pretty difficult thing to do because that thing had built up goodwill over fucking decades. And this guy, I mean, you know, I'm on the spectrum, but I mean, this guy vibrates at a frequency that I've very rarely fucking seen.
You wouldn't have liked him, Hannah. To be honest, if you met him, I'm not joking.
Well,
he wasn't particularly
Hannah
polite
knows
individual.
Who it is.
Oh, does she?
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
No, all right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'll explain to you why after the whatever this is.
That's why I'm saying no.
Yeah, okay. Hannah, I'm just saying this guy was a fucking, you know, sets himself up like some great empresario. But I mean, mamma mia.
I know.
All kinds of ideas and absolute. Anyway. And then Simon O'Keefe took it over. And Simon, you know, I don't know.
Is he running good?
He runs it very well. He runs the International very well. But again, he took it over. It wasn't a club that he started. So, it is my... I feel like that's where I spent most of my comedy career, trying to...
So you're saying you started the club?
No, he's saying creatively.
That's
I know, but why didn't you take it over and run it?
I can't run it. Run the International.
Mm-hmm.
Can't fucking clean his toilet.
But I mean, I can't run the Internet. I can't run a club. The amount. Well, you see, that's the other thing. You know, the amount of fucking hassle.
Imagine dealing with comedians.
Running a club, because every 10 seconds you have to give this guy a gig, this guy a gig, this guy a gig. And then the stress of making sure they all arrive on time, the stress of getting the audience in, the stress of the show not fucking up. All the, you know, just, there's just many, many layers of stresses. And then there's, you know, but the thing is, he's running the club. And, you know, but I just sort of mourn the fact that when Aidan ran the club, I could just ring up and I could just do 10 minutes and there was no hassle. But Simon doesn't run it like that. And a perfect example is Dylan Moran showing up. Did I tell you about that? I told you. I've said this twice or three times.
Yeah, you're repeating yourself.
I will repeat myself because this is my life. If you want to repeat yourself, please do. Say something. Okay. I'm tired of counterpunchers. Like, I'm saying stuff and you have these little fucking comedians. Me, me, me. Little dart throwers. Get your own dartboard and let me throw darts at you, face. Sorry, I'm going to cut that out. I'm going to cut that out.
No, Sean don't cut Connery. It out.
What?
Don't cut it out. I show will. Your real, real face.
No, anyway, so Aidan was going to show up. And I have to say, I hadn't seen Aidan. God, I haven't seen, when we haven't seen Aidan in years.
It's nearly 3 years since
so
he left.
Aidan Bishop, and I have such an affection for Aidan, and we've had such good times. And we were going to talk about, there was a great time, this is before the Savage. By the way, sorry, we will, do you want to introduce
Steve? Keep going. Well,
go on, Jack. Well, I just want to talk about this thing. Go on.
Well, go on, say it.
Come on, say it.
No, but maybe introduce.
And then I'll do it seamlessly, so you used to talk about that, and then I'll...
Okay, Stephen. So this is Stephen Mullen. Obviously, we're going to give you a better introduction. Comedian. Okay, go on. Go on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to And That's Why We're Not Together, starring David McSavage, Hannah Andrews, and special guest Stephen El Señor Mullen.
I like that, Jack.
I don't know, how is he a special guest?
Every guest is a special guest.
Hello, welcome to And That's Why We're Not Together. This show, this podcast is sponsored by Lucozade. Lucozade, it's probably not very good for you. I'm quite addicted to it.
It's definitely not good for you.
I love the fact that we're not sponsoring Lucozade. So it's great we can just say it's a pile of shite, but I love it.
But
and I'm addicted to it.
Anybody from Lucozade, if they're watching, reconsider sponsoring us. Because
they're hardly going to fucking sponsor us when I'm saying it's a load of shit.
Of course, but we can
But you see, that's the difference between this fucking podcast, because I'm not a shill for Lucozade. Okay, all you little Twitter fucks, this is what authenticity and looks like.
But that's why I want to say that we're not doing it really for money, for love of doing podcasts. But on the other hand, would be very good if people would subscribe, like, and comment. So we reach bigger audience.
Integrity. This is what integrity looks like.
And that's
we
why
are not
David
sponsored.
Doesn't have a house because he's got integrity.
Oh,
yes, I've got
in too early here.
I've got integrity. I'm lying in the gutter, but I have integrity. and all you people in your fancy fucking houses, you pump out, the rubbish.
And
Sharon Osbourne does not look good.
She does. She does look actually amazing. For anyone that age and having a plastic surgery, her plastic surgeries are actually really good.
Okay, she looks like someone from another planet who looked almost exactly like a human being. But you're looking at her and going, that's something not right about that situation. You don't fuck with the face. She's
insanely different to what she was.
Yeah, like it's crazy.
Well, there are other actresses, especially they have.
But thank God, if everyone was like you, like you know, if I like this, look, like hi Hannah, look.
That's a very good impression.
Look, and then the sun shines. Look, the sun shines. Look, the sun shines. This is how Botox sunshine.
Because
they can't just go like that. They go. I'm acting. I'm Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
My God, you look gorgeous. I have to pretend that I don't notice your face looks fucking weird.
Well, listen, you're laughing. Nicole Kidman is paid a lot of money. He's in a lot of movies.
He well, is.
She is.
I can't believe you misgendered
Nicole
Kidman.
But does
Nicole
she have integrity?
Go on, Nicole Kidman,
She has like seven houses, man. She's no integrity.
That's Dave's point.
Anyway, no, listen. So, yeah, I just, I used to, anyway, I don't want to go on. What were we talking about?
Aiden.
Oh, Aiden. Anyway, oh, yeah, Aiden, that's right. So, before the Savage Eye, I did a thing called Head Wreckers. And before Head Wreckers, I did a pilot called Oh No, It's McSavage. And it was very, how would you say, just firing this. There was no, there was nothing cohesive about it. It was just sort of stoppy, starty sketches. And some of them worked. They weren't tried and tested. You know, I'm sorry, as I'm saying that, I approached it probably like the people in RTE approached making RTE the fucking musical. No, Toy Story, Toy Show.
Toy Show, the musical.
So angry. Toy Show, the fucking criminal. The idea, Stephen, that these little titmice in RTE, there was individuals, and they said, you know what? We're going to make Toy Story, Toy Show. And by the way, does anybody give a shit about it? It's just toys.
Yeah.
But is it really that, is it going to translate into a musical? And to write a musical, or sorry, to write anything brilliant, you know, you can't, you have to kind of, you know, try it out, test it out, have some kind of background in it, I guess. But, and then they put, they didn't put their money into it though, Stephen, did they?
Taxpayers' money.
Sorry, your money.
My money.
My money. Your money. Right, and it wasn't, and by the way, do you know how hard it is to make fucking money? Because anytime you make money, you have to pay VAT on it. Like you think you're, oh, I've made 10 euro. No, you fucking haven't.
No, you haven't.
23% You know, is VAT.
And these little Jack, these little fucks in RTE decided to. Oh, look, we've got this money from me and you. And they, we'll make something that has no chance of a. It was so bad that even Ryan Crubberly didn't want to advertise in Late Late Show. That's how bad the Toy Show musical was.
Can I tell you something?
I can't even speak.
Those two women who were producers, they were from...
Name and shame.
I'm not going to name them, but you can find out online.
Okay, we'll
yourself.
Put them on the thing. That's why we need the Google thing, Jack.
Yeah, two producers. They were from Late Late Show.
Yeah.
They were also claiming that they wrote Late Late Toy Show, the musical, and they even got writers
credits.
And they got exemption, tax exemption from revenue, and they got two salaries.
Well, wait a second, how am I paying? Can I not get a tax exemption from my show?
For written material, you have to we have to ask the accountants about that.
What is the story there? Do you have to write, submit it to the thing?
Maybe you have to transcribe it, and put it up. That's why it'll never get done.
We'll
never get
the tax.
Can you push your microphone just a little bit further away?
Away, sorry.
A little bit further away. Just like that. Yeah. Look at me.
He's pulling your leg.
I'm not pulling your leg. I just don't want to hear plosives. Plosives. We have to get a. Go on, Hannah.
But those two women, who are not writers, they got a writer's credit and they actually got tax exemptions as artists.
Can we not get tax exemption? Do you know?
Listen,
what I would watch is the Oireachtas Committee, the musical. That would be good. That's a great musical. That'd be a great musical.
That is so true.
And Noel Kelly there.
Oh, lovely.
Be Sinn Féin.
That is brilliant. Oireachtas the musical. Yeah. I would really like to see that.
That would.
And you know, Noel Kelly, who is Ryan Tully. And by the way, folks, I don't care about these people. This is all a distraction. But the fact is that they're not. That is funny. Sorry, Noel Kelly looks like the devil. He looks like Beelzebub, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Beelzebub?
He looks like... Okay, Anna.
Yeah, he does.
But Ryan Tubberty... anyway, oh, Toy Story the musical. I can't even... There's no way... I bet you this is it. Look. I'm waking up and I have no toys. I'm just a lonely boy. Where can I get toys? It's Christmas and I've been abandoned by my parents. Oh, look. His fairy fucking godmother.
Did you see
Do you want a fucking toy? Fuck you.
You know, they apparently sold like 300 tickets.
Yeah, 300 tickets. God. You pigs. You pig virus.
And you know, those
you
two
pig
women.
Viruses. You got money and, you know, and like listen, it's such an insult to us. When we try out a joke, how long do we try out jokes?
Too long. Yeah.
Too long.
Yeah.
Decades.
Yeah, decades.
And then we have to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And listen, there's two women, they actually advance in RTE. So they got from producers to like head of news.
Folks, this is it should be Toy Story. If it was Toy Story, the horror show.
Yeah.
Toy Story. Look, Toy Story, look.
Here comes Noel Kelly.
Here comes Noel Kelly. Toy show. Look. Welcome to RTE. The bigger the disaster, the higher the raise. We fail. Upwards. Yeah. It's the upside down world. And it's your money. It's not their money. Like everything I have bought here in this fucking thing, those lights, this microphone, I paid for everything. Nothing. I've got. I want TV license. How can I get a TV license?
Yeah, guys. Oh, if you want to watch, continue watching, and that's why we're not together. You'll have to pay the McSavage license fee.
Yeah, the McSavage license fee. You idiots!
It's the law.
It's a bottle of Lucozade a month.
It's the law. Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah. It's the fucking law, Stephen.
Keep playing all the time, and I was literally.
It's
driving
the
over.
Law.
It's the law, and I was like, "Who gives a fuck? It's not, if it's RTE, don't fucking." Do you know what I mean? It's the law. Yeah, the ad keeps going. It's the law. You know,
just, yeah, it's the law. It's like Judge Dredd is going to come to the door. Hey, Toy Store, do you want Toy Show? No, I don't want Toy Show. I think it's a load of shite. I have no interest in seeing Toy Show, which is a show once a year with a fucking Egypt transposed into a musical. It's the law.
The TV license inspector.
It's the law. It's like somebody coming into you and saying, give us money. Why? I want to put on a shit musical that'll lose money. Are you fucking mad? It's the law. You'll go to prison unless you don't fund this musical.
Yeah.
It's a fucking madness.
It's mafia.
And Irish are just big, compliant, frightened dopes. Me included. Frightened of being fucking cancelled by a blue-haired Trinity cunt for saying something.
Shuni Rachlach.
Shuni O'Rach. I'm so angry, Jack.
And listen, this other...
Tell them how you really feel.
Listen, the other, this is like ironic. This one of those producers is now
sorry, Stephen,
assistant head of Light Entertainment.
The light-headed fuck. The light-headed. Who's the assistant? What? Sorry, I'm too angry. I can't even hear.
She became.
Who did?
The one who was producing Toy Show the Musical. She's now head assistant of Light Entertainment.
Okay, look, I'm running a business. I want someone to be near the top of the department. Somebody who has had experience in really failing in a big way.
Yeah.
Why would you want that? Because the money that we're giving to these projects isn't ours. It's from fucking idiots. Oh, Jack and Daniel.
The peasants.
Let's start talking about the vaccines.
So, Stephen, as you can see, rage is a bit of a theme on this show. So, do you find you get angry in your day-to-day life or in your career?
Yeah.
Do you use rage? Does it work against you?
I try not to. I was thinking about rage this morning for some reason, because my dad was when we were growing, he's not going to like this, but he got quite the rage. And he's from Cork, do you know? You don't listen to me, Anna, what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
But I reckon, Stephen, you're the kind of guy that it builds up. Like, my rage is simmering.
Yeah.
You're the kind of guy that you're like,
explosion.
I'm nice for 2 years.
Yeah.
Axe.
I think you're right there. I had a bit of a moment there yesterday. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Fuck this, and I was just kind of pushing back on people. And yeah, it's kind of the niceties wear off after a while, because we're on our own in this job, aren't we?
Well, Stephen, is this your first tour that you're doing now?
Technically third, but like it's kind of second after. I feel like I started again after COVID. Like, so this is the second tour.
So, how long was your first tour?
I did like 12 dates around
okay,
the country.
Okay, right. And how long is this tour for?
It's 16 dates between February and April.
Yeah.
Ireland and a couple of UK dates, Belfast and Glasgow.
God, UK dates and then saying Belfast.
Two and Glasgow, yeah. I know, isn't that controversial?
Very soon. Belfast is going to be in Ireland.
Feels like it's coming.
It's coming.
I mean,
United
it's still in Ireland,
Ireland
right now. But
people don't want it, especially Southerners. But I'm telling you.
Well,
this
look,
is
do you know what? We need to be. As long as we're peacefully coexisting.
Exactly.
And it is such a tragedy that we've been cut off from each other. But I mean, Protestantism, Catholicism, we can learn from each other. It's so sad. I wish I was a Protestant.
Speaking of the blessed RT, you know Andrew Trimble, who used to play rugby for Ireland, right? He's an Ulster Scot Protestant. Yeah. He did a very good documentary. It's genuinely worth watching because the whole Ulster Scot Protestant thing, it's much more complex than people think. There's Ulster prods who play hurling in County Antrim, and we didn't know that.
Yeah, right.
It's just a bit more.
What I want to say is, so you're doing, like I've done, I don't know if this feels like the first kind of tour I've ever done, in the sense that I used to do dates, you know, here, there, but, you know, I think when you're would you change your material every 2 years or something like that? Or do you try to? I think that's...
I did write a new show. Like, the tour I'm touring now is a new show to the year before.
Okay.
And I found, like, doing... Because I'm still young, and like, I'm starting out. I found Edinburgh's very helpful for doing that. Like, just...
How old are you, Stephen?
38, but, like, I'm young in this game, I suppose.
Yeah, know? Yeah. Stephen thinks he's young. Check. He's in 38. This, no, I know. Oh, you mean you've started? How long have you been doing comedy?
No, I've been doing comedy since 30.
Is young.
No, I don't think I'm
young.
Who is?
Stephen, the man over there thinks he's young.
No, I'm not. I know I'm not young, but in comedy, I'm
yeah,
still
yeah,
a baby.
Yeah, you're still a baby, yeah. Because I'm doing this tour myself, I started the tour and I've done loads of dates, and because of the Instagram, I've sold fairly well. Yeah. Most of the venues have sold out, and they're bigger. So I just feel an immense amount of pressure to drop as much material as I can.
Yeah.
If I'm to do a tour, you know, at the end of this year, starting into the other year, and because I think that's the only way it can be sustainable. Because it just the idea. Because I've been in I've been doing shows. And doing old material and just thinking, oh God. There's people sitting there going, should we heard this before?
Yeah, well, I sometimes think that we're overly paranoid about that. That's like, they often don't necessarily remember. They're out having a few drinks as well, and they don't necessarily remember what's been said. But you've said that to me before, that you're doing old material. And I've been on your show a couple of times, and I'm like, you do turn over new stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I think you're a bit harsh on yourself. That
I am a bit harsh on myself, and I should be, because no, there's some jokes I will, God forgive me, it's like I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
Some of the because you should, because you're mixing the new and old, and it depends how much new, how old, and you fall back. So you should actually, you haven't done it, just write on a piece of paper
all the new stuff,
and have a structure. And then if you feel it's not coming, obviously you can fall on some old jokes, but you go back to your new material.
And you're an amazing genius riffer.
Listen to me. You are a genius.
Should I know?
You're the first man I've looked at and I thought, I wouldn't mind licking his balls.
That's made me feel sick about my own balls.
I think finally you just
coming
being
out.
Your femininity and openness and other side. And
but since Maya came to the show, you know, everything's changed.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. But it does make me angry. Toy Show, the musical. You know, I just have to say,
squeeze
Stephen.
The last bit of bitterness.
No, Stephen, look, you know, your business is in RT is entertaining people, providing. I mean, that should be your area of expertise, surely. Mm. And like when I was trying to come up with a TV show, we did. I was going to talk about that Aiden thing. Sorry, I got distracted. The first TV show we did was Oh No, It's McSavage. I did, and it wasn't planned. It was just like. It came out of my head, therefore it's good. Yeah. You know, like a megalomaniacal or narcissistic kind of idea.
Megalomaniac.
You know, a lot of people who don't have much experience, but they're full of ego. And they go to Edinburgh thinking, this is going to work out great. It's like, if you ever see Kill Tony and you see people coming out, And they, oh, they're sort of saying, you know, have you ever noticed how orange juice just gets stale really quick? You know, and in their head,
yeah, genius.
They were probably thinking, I'm going to get big laughs.
Yeah.
And then they probably get angry. Well, so what I'm trying to say is that this thing called Oh No, It's McSavage, it was the first pilot I did. And Aidan Bishop came over and because I wanted him to watch it. This is, how long ago was this? 15 years ago, Jack.
Probably, yeah.
Nearly 20, like 19 years ago, 18 years ago.
So this is how long I know Aidan Bishop. So nearly 20 years ago, and Aidan's watching this. And then, it was 20 minutes long. Oh, God. And you know, Aidan's kind of, you know, it's watching it.
And he's leaning back.
And then I said, what you think? And you know when you ask people what you think, I mean, it's really amateur move anyway, you know, to hey, I've got this joke and try it out in someone. It's terrible stuff. But his voice went high. Oh, no, I thought you thought that. Which means when somebody's voice goes high,
yeah,
they're arguing against the actual voice, yeah, which is going, that was a load of shit. Yeah. No, that was good, Dave. Right? And then Aidan started playing with Jack, and he goes, hey, Jack, hey, I'm a monkey, Jack. Look at me, I'm a monkey. And he started jumping around the room like a monkey, and Jack was falling off the chair, laughing his head off, loving it, right?
But Jack,
and then,
you said
let me finish the motherfucking story.
He's getting there.
I thought you finished.
Please let me finish the point of the story.
It feels like he's about to come, and you just...
Jesus Christ. Okay, I have to build it up. Yeah, it's unbelievable. So Aidan was jumping around the room like a fucking monkey, and Jack was loving it, right? We just seen that pilot. And then I'm looking at Aidan, I'm thinking, Aidan, yeah, jumping around like a monkey is funnier than that. All the effort, the thousands and thousands of euros, all the people that work it is funnier. What he's doing now is funnier than that piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Then I did the second one, which was Head Wreckers, which was all was just slightly better, but still shy. And that those two failures really woke me up. And I thought, the next thing, if I ever get an opportunity, my God, I'm going to put myself in the position of an audience and just think, what will engage me? What will grab me? What will, you know, that is least likely to fail? And that idea was... in other words, before people tune into stuff, Stephen, they kind of want to know what they're about to watch, actually.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why documentary, so the documentary style, the framework in which the sketches hung on, you know.
In The Savage Eye.
Yeah, why do the Irish drink so much? So instantly I'm, okay, I want to know, yeah, why did the Irish drink so much? So what I'm trying to say is, Hannah, that this idea of toy show, the thing,
musical.
They just had this idea. Oh, it'll be great because it's popular. Well, why is it popular? It's popular. It's one because it's the context, the day, you know, December.
Yeah.
But will it translate? Mm. Did they do research? Mm. Did they try shows in front of people?
Mm.
I fucking doubt it. But but they did. But it wasn't even their money. The cheap, the robbing bastards. And then they get promoted, and your money, people. Do you know how hard it is to make money? And these fucking... We should burn that. I can't believe we burned... Let's get RTE after school.
Yeah, let's burn it.
Let's burn it to the fucking ground.
What were you going
to
say, Hannah?
Sorry. I'm not sure now. No, I thought that Jack was...
No. I was just going to say, because I watched the pilot and, you know, it made me start to cry. And Aidan... cheered me up after watching.
Oh, is that what happened? You were
No.
We're getting into trauma there.
That's like some like a German exchange student. Yeah, I've watched the show and it made me cry, and then Aidan started jumping on like a monkey and made me laugh. Is that funny? No, it was a joke. Yeah. Fucking hell, I'm worried about you. Yes, so there we go. Oh yeah, so we were talking about writing new material and doing shows, whatever.
Do you think about that now? So that analysis that you did of like figuring out how The Savage Eye was going to work, you got into the mindset of like, what do the audience want to watch? Do you do that with your stand up? Because it's a tricky one to do, isn't it? Because if you think too much about what they want, then you're not doing what you want. Sometimes I struggle with that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. I don't know. What do you mean you struggle with that?
So sometimes I want to talk about what I'm like. I'm only going to spend time on something that I'm interested in talking about, but there is a like.
Which
a,
is what?
Whatever it is I'm talking about on stage.
Do you ever like, do jokes? Because are you obsessed?
Jokes about football.
Are you obsessed with football?
A little bit, yeah.
Because when you and when you came in here, you and Jack were like instantly, oh, fucking whatever, Man United or whatever the fuck it is. What is it, Jack? What were you talking about?
The League Cup final.
Yeah, yeah. Football, you know?
Yeah, I do.
And so you, what, David, felt ostracized, didn't you? Because you don't, you hate football.
Do you think a lot about, do you spend a lot of your time?
I used, that was my first obsession in life. I've definitely gone through phases of obsession and I obsessed with football.
Have you played football?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I played under 21s for Bohemians. That's my claim to fame. Like, it's a long time ago now. But that's what I wanted to do when I was in school. I wasn't very good at
what position did you play in
predominantly centre midfield or up front.
What does that mean, Jack?
Centre midfield or up front.
What
striker? No, you're in the middle of it. So Roy Keane played centre mid.
And what's Bohemians? Bohemian sounds
Bulls,
like
they're one of the premier clubs of Ireland, you know, okay. Based in Dublin.
So it's
know.
A good it's good yeah. to get into Bohemians.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Back in the yeah, but like I do kind of look back on it now and kind of go like even the the game has changed so much. You look at the difference in the standards in 20 years and like probably what I was playing back at the time was
so so I mean,
compared to now.
Getting professional football like in any level is very difficult to get into.
Yeah, but I wasn't professional. Like I was a carpenter at the time. Yeah, and then, yeah.
So did you get a lot of pussy?
That's what Aiden.
Get a lot. Hey, Stephen. So you were center midfield with the girls on the sidelines going, "Hey."
No, it's not all. I think some people think it's all like that when you're playing. No, it wasn't. Like,
I think in Ireland as well, it's rugby would be the more thing that because the Irish League is like one of the worst leagues in the world.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like it's not
against it, but I mean, it's
nothing
like
against it.
UCD
but
is the
worst
rated
league in the world.
You know, UCD is the worst rated club on FIFA.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even believe that on FIFA, to be honest.
650 clubs in the world.
Well done, UCD. You should work for RTE. You'd get a fucking raise.
Well, they're very close.
Hello, RTE. Welcome. We have UCD starting with us, and they're the worst club in the whole universe, actually. Would you like to do a fucking UCD, the fucking UCD football club, the musical?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're the shittest. Come on, let's be second last.
I found that the only good thing that sport was good at when I was growing up was not getting bullied.
Yeah, yeah.
That and being a messer. But if you're good at sport, then people kind of tend to leave you alone. Because I went to so many different schools and moved around and all that kind of stuff. So it was good to, yeah, people didn't.
But it's funny though. When you think about like the innate physical ability that certain people have. In terms of there's a fucking ball there,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
They want to get past that con, that yeah. con, that con. And like, you know, I'd go into it like a, you know, I'd be like a fucking sea lion trying to ride a pigeon.
Oh,
I rode a guy says to me after a gig.
You've been thinking about that.
A guy says to me after a gig in Cavan, and he comes over to me. Hey, I rode a chicken and it liked it.
Stop. You didn't say.
It's so stupid. The fucking, how would he know the chicken liked it? The chicken's like, anyway, so listen.
The poor pigeon, though.
Anyway. But the funny thing is, so you could say physically, I'm not that smart, that clever. You know, people talk about intelligence or IQ.
Right.
If you hear David Beckham being interviewed, you know.
Hi, bitch boys.
You know, whatever, you know, he's a sweet little guy and all that. But on the pitch, he's physically... Physically, the way the coordination between his hands, his legs, whatever, there is a big intelligence involved in that. Or it's funny, isn't it? The way
there's a difference between certain footballers. Like some people are naturally gifted and they kind of play more off their instincts.
But like
Lionel Messi, obviously. Yeah. Maybe
Maradona,
Zidane.
It's funny you bring him up. That's he was asking me, am I obsessed with football? That's who's tattooed on my arm.
Who is
Maradona?
Yeah, well, because you're half Argentinian, obviously. So Maradona's like the god.
He's got. There's a church where Maradona yes. is God.
And do you think
followers?
Yeah. Do you think? Oh, really?
Yes, and it's got churches all over the world.
And the Holy Trinity is Maradona, some crazy Argentinian jazz player, and I think maybe Che Guevara is the third.
And do you think the Falkland Islands should go back to Argentina?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, what's the crack with that whole thing?
Who cares? Go on. Margaret Thatcher. Gosh.
They have been talking about obviously they've got the Matt Kennedy. Is it Menem? The new Trump is in Argentina basically now, and he's talking about doing it now.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Have you been back to Argentina?
I always think it feels like recent, but the last time was 2016. But yeah. I have a citizenship, so I always kind of romantically dreamed of kind of being there for a while. But it's like it's tricky. It's not a good time to go now. Do you know what I mean? It's 'cause the tensions are high.
The currency is
crazy. Really bad right now.
Everyone
really
uses bad. Dollars there, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be the same.
And why did
around.
The Argentinians? They welcomed the fucking Germans with open arms after the war.
It was so far away that you didn't, you know.
Or they didn't.
They're like that thing Irish. Over there.
Hello, Irish.
So
Germans with open arms as
well. I think it's just pure. It's pure ignorance. People just didn't understand. Or maybe it's
really?
Anti-Semitism.
But
I'm sure. Listen, it's madness.
Because Eamon de Valera wrote to the.
Oh yeah, to the
I didn't write it. I didn't write it. I'm very pro humanity, and I think it's the greatest stain on the history of humanity. Anything atrocities. I can't handle it. I can't actually enjoy my life because of what happened to Jews in World War II. What's happening in Gaza? Any suffering, especially children, game over, forget it. That's why the idea of school shooting in the United States, it blows my fucking mind. How is this happening? Because guns. That's why.
Do you want a virtue signal a bit more?
Yeah. I'll virtue signal. Well, I, but it's funny but I mean, that, but I mean, you know, you can't argue with, like, yeah. like I mean, sorry,
it's
I'm just saying
one, it's a weird
that
one.
There's no way Argentinians would have let Nazis if they really fully fucking knew what they did to other humans.
But
and
what's
children.
Interesting about that is Argentina, for some reason, everyone always brings up that Argentina took loads of Germans in. But like, as I was listening to a podcast recently, like, look at all the names in NASA when they got to the moon in 69.
All Germans. And you go, it's not just Argentina, it's Brazil or whatever. But like, you know,
it's
also like, imagine you were in Argentina. So, you know, you don't have as much information back then. Obviously, people would have heard about the war. You're in Argentina. You're thousands of miles away from World War II. Some people come over. And they're German. And what are you going to instantly be like? You're evil, you know. Like,
also,
like if people are coming in as refugees or
if
whatever.
If I'm remembering correctly, I'm pretty sure it was on and off from the 40s to the 80s. I'm pretty sure Argentina was under a dictatorship then. So you know, the people had a choice, you know.
Anyway, so there you go, folks. Yeah. If you're
but
Nazi,
also
to
Germans and Europeans were moving to
Nazis
Argentina.
Were welcome in Ireland. Nazis were welcome in United States.
Wasn't
Nazis
there a teacher recently, came out recently in
Nazis were welcome in Canada. So Nazis were welcome and hidden everywhere.
Not by me.
Depending.
They scouted the best talent. You know what I mean?
You know, they scouted the best talent.
They did.
The minute they said they against communists, they were welcome with open arm.
I'm just saying, do you know all conversations eventually lead to Nazis and Hitler?
But hold
well,
on.
Well, because
wait, this isn't
true.
Finished yet, because I brought cardamom buns for today's show.
You bought what?
Cardamom buns for today's show, just to lighten the mood.
I like the name. Look, it's called No Messing Bakery.
And what about the front cover?
He's just some caricature that Niall. I can't believe Niall's getting free advertising now. He's in Smithfield and he just made this. I think that's just a character that represents
like
the bakery.
It.
And that's why we're not together. Sponsored by light, fluffy cardamom buns from
No Messing Bakery.
No Messing Bakery. Love it.
Okay, look, guys.
We're off the Nazis.
Okay, look, guys. Yeah, and thank you for virtue signaling a little dig there, bastard. Sorry, I can't.
But
if I say anything bad to my son, it's like saying something bad to myself.
I just
apologize.
Because you know, people can see it at home, you know? People can see it at home. You know, I'm just like the listeners at home.
The voice of the people. You know? Come on, Jack. That's a virtue signal there.
That's interesting. So, you see, that's interesting, Stephen. You're saying, you know, you try and put your head space into the mind of an audience and sit back and imagine What do you want to see? What would thrill you or what would excite you? One of your big obsessions is football.
Mm.
So why wouldn't you? Do you ever talk about your time as a footballer?
No, it wasn't.
Was there not really any funny back room where you? I bet you sometimes you took showers. Go on, Stephen. Let me take you back. You're a young man.
Yes.
You've just won a game.
Yeah.
And you're in the shower.
Yeah. I'm actually picturing all the Mickeys on the Mickeys, right now.
And then you're looking at the guy who set that shot up for you, and then everyone leaves, and you're just there, and you're just right,
and then
the soap is on the floor, and then you're looking at your mate, and you're just going, what? And then Stephen kisses you. So what?
This is a true story, right? This is a true story.
No, yeah. Somebody gets a boner.
No, it's not that.
In the shower, you got a boner in the shower.
I played for one club, and I was like, it was a senior team, so I think it started with them when I was 17 or 18. So they were like 25 to late 30s, right? And after a year there, the chairman of the club, right, we're on a team night out, and the lads at the time, it was the Nokia phones where. If you sent an email but put the subject of the email as the name of a person, it comes up and it looks like a text message that from a Nokia phone. I didn't know this at the time, but the chairman of the club was a gay man.
Okay.
Who I used to sit next to in the dressing room the whole time when we were showering and all that. There's no problem with any of that kind of stuff. The lad started doing this fake email thing and he thinks he's getting text messages from me.
Oh, right? I see, right.
This is on a night out and he's hammered.
Yeah.
And they're sending him messages along the lines of, I won't say his name. Say his name is John. He's like, John, I don't know how to tell the lads, but I really want to come out and all this kind of stuff, right?
They were sending him as if you were.
As if it was me. Right. And he thinks I'm texting him I need to make an announcement to the rest of the lads that need to come out. And he thinks I'm flirting with him and messing with him. And he's coming up behind me going, I'm going to knock the hole off you.
No, he didn't.
I swear to God. And then I don't know what's going on.
Oh, no.
And then the lads in the 30s going, come on, John's drunk there, Steve, we'll give him a walk home. He's only around the corner, walk him. I ran out the fire escape. Go on, give him a walk. They were like, push me, come on, help me home. Because I wasn't drinking at the time.
That's real. That's real lad behavior.
That is the humor. And they are all deadpan, nobody giving the game away at all. Meanwhile, they're around going,
and so when you got away, were they just crying, laughing?
I'd say so. I remember they only told me afterwards. It was Dean Brennan, you prick, if you're listening. It was him. He was up to no good. But all the homoerotic stuff that would happen in the dressing room was hilarious. Like Dino was forever, like after the show you bend over to put on your sock or whatever like that, he'd always have the Lynx candle up your arse. That was the banter in the dressing room.
I know, but you're
yeah, that's true actually. All the banter's really gay.
Lads are all the homophobic lads are so gay. I remember school, I went to an all boys school and Gary Moore saying, do you want to see me scar? And I was like, Jesus, is he alright? Did he have surgery the weekend? I was eating hunky dories. And I looked down and he has his lad in his hand.
Yeah.
I'm trying, I can't, like, he just has his lad on. Everyone's just laughing. I was like, what's this all about?
But I remember when I was a kid growing up in Willow Park, or was it Willow Park? There was a thing called pruning.
What?
So you just grab a guy by the balls and squeeze. Oh. Like, yeah. And, you know. But no, but there was no, I.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Didn't maybe some guys thought it was a sexual thing, but I never saw it as a sexual thing.
We should do
so you'd walk around, you'd walk
at each other.
You'd walk around with like a copybook covering your balls. Because in case somebody came up to you and pruned you. It was called pruning.
Oh, and what, teachers didn't notice?
Like, I don't fucking know.
Was it all the kids walking with books in their pants?
Or it's goosing, so or goosing when you just stick your finger up a hole. Not, but yeah, but through fabric. I think a mate of mine used to do that to people, and you'd be going like, ah, like a
yeah, you know, as the you know my generation, and then Stephen's generation was a certain level, and your generation was obviously a bit more gay. I wonder granddad's generation was. They're just like, I know it's just a joke. I stuck my finger up his own.
Yeah, but sure, everyone's fluid now, aren't they? I went back to school in my mid-20s. So
That was a very... Just hold the mid-20s thing. Yeah. That's a very funny story about your man coming up behind you and saying, I want to knock the hole off you. I mean...
I was so freaked. I was very quiet in those days as well, because I was just off the booze and all that kind of stuff. So then I was like, you know, I wasn't socially quite an extrovert at the time.
What are you saying about your 20s? What were you just going
to
say?
In my... mid-20s when I went back to school in my mid-20s and I remember, so I was like on a college course, on a like back to education course, like a 1 year thing, and all the young lads and young ones, like they were all just out of school, 17, 18, 19, but everyone was kissing everyone. It was just like all the lads were kissing the lads, all the girls. Yeah, it's all like
when was this?
Jesus. You missed
when were
lot.
People gay?
Well, I guess definitely. It wasn't. Yeah, you think
I've heard
we
it from school teachers now, like in secondary schools, it's much more common in certain schools and all.
Oh yeah.
That.
So oh yeah. Educate together.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. As we call it in Stony Batter, segregate together, because they're the most white middle class people ever. Sorry, we're getting very fanatical here.
So that was pretty cool, Jack. Jack was into his football when you were a kid, weren't you, Jack?
Oh yeah, I loved football. Yeah.
Who did you play for, Jack?
Well, I never played for anyone that good. I just played it. Like a long time since I was like 4 or 5 up to 18, you know. But I loved playing football. I loved the because I played Sunday League a lot. I just loved the like close matches against a team that was like super aggressive, you know. Yeah. And just like the arguments, the opposing team coach going, ref, and it's like under 10s and he's going, ref, you fucking bastard. Yeah, that's a foul. It's three 10-year-olds running around on the pitch. And they're always over the line.
Yes.
On always. The pitch. And oh, it's you remember, like, mate, get off the fucking
I did.
Pitch.
I remember I was screaming at some guy to get off the pitch. Yeah, you fuck up. And they're behaving like it is FA Cup final or whatever.
Part.
And there's, you know what I mean? And no, your kid is not fucking Maradona, you big blob of humanity. You collapsed personality bastard who can fucking barely string a sentence together. And your son is just a carbon copy of you, mate.
Because it gets dangerous when you're older, because they carry on with that attitude and then you're playing adult football. You've got to go to work on Monday morning and people are genuinely trying to break legs. Like, it's...
What do you mean?
Like when you're
fucking dead true, yeah.
That tension that they're there at under 10s and all that kind of stuff, and you start to... Because I still play like on a Sunday, like just 7-a-side. It's fun. But it comes out sometimes. And I'm like, you gotta fucking chill out. This is only 7-a-side Sunday. But you can get so aggressive as an adult amateur footballer. People are going in to kill each other in tackles and stuff like that. And
oh, I see.
It's insane. We're taking away too seriously.
It's usually like 2 or 3 players, you know. It's generally not the whole team. There's like 2 or 3 players, and you see in their eyes they've just lost it. Like, they've got no sense of society or anything on the pitch.
And they're generally
like, there was a fella, we played this team and we had great games against them. Like, I really loved playing them, but they were nut jobs. Like, the referees boycotted their games.
Yeah.
You know.
That's very common, yeah. It's insane.
Quite common. And, like, we had a time where we were playing them, and their coach volunteered to referee, and even their team were saying, what the fuck do you mean? He's like, listen, I'm going to beat the shit out of all of you if you don't shut up.
It's so aggressive.
But the whole team was walking out of our pitch, and I was with my mate Luke, and we were chatting to another player from another team and his dad, and the 4 of us, and they're walking by us, and like the whole team, the 40-year-old guy, I'm like 16 at the time, and he's going, watch yourself, yeah? Your man's like 45 or something.
But that atmosphere...
And like no intimidation either, because obviously he's not going to
But it
do
doesn't
it.
Nurture great players.
No.
There's no great players coming out of that vibe.
No.
And that's what your man Roddy... What was his name?
Roddy Collins.
Roddy Collins. Yeah, I did an interview with Roddy, and he was saying it was madness. Like, people kind of, you know, like... on the sidelines. They almost want to play on behalf of the children. You know, like, calm down.
A fella, that team, when we went over there, but one guy had a fucking, like a knife in a sock.
Oh,
like,
God.
It is
in the match?
In the match, yeah.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, this team were crazy. Like, your man punched one of our players.
Oh, my God.
Per capita, do we have as many good players as other countries?
No way. But
why is that? Because we've got a shite football academy system.
Yeah, it's so corrupt, the whole system.
Okay.
It's like, what's your FAI is like, RT.
What do you mean the
Well, you know, if there's a... Oh, God, I'm not going to remember the name.
What's corrupt? What system? You mean, FAI?
FAI, yeah. And there's no connection between grassroots football. So where I was playing underage football and then senior football and then trying to get into the League of Ireland, they're only now starting to try and go, well, if you do well here, then you can be encouraged and nurtured at this academy and you can go to this. None of that existed.
So where's
look at the rugby right now, right?
Go
Irish
on.
Rugby team is... And I'm not a huge rugby fan, but like they're flying it. And
right.
There's a great connection between the provinces and the academies and how they nurture people as individuals to go on and also be able to work outside of rugby if it doesn't work out for them.
Okay.
There's no system in Ireland
at all. So what did... Football, I don't understand that.
It's also in the schools, rugby as well. You know, like if you're a really good football player, like you have to go out. You have to go out and find the club, you know.
Yeah.
Like if you're a really good rugby player, like people will want you. And like if you're in a
So where's school, the... What's the corruption though,
Stephen? Back in the FAI, back in, like, basically, you know, John, you heard about John Delaney? Like, he was running the FAI, he was the chief executive officer.
He's
for
the
years.
Biggest crook ever.
Yeah, he's just a crook. Just like the beginning of this book that kind of follows his corruption is like, I think it was his 50th birthday party, and it's like in this castle in Tipperary, and there was literally like statues of made of ice and all this kind of stuff, and everybody was there at the party, and you know that half it's been paid by the FAI, you know, and all this kind of stuff.
Oh,
using FAI money.
Okay.
Which is government funded as well, blah 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 blah.
Right. So it's another world.
It's another RTE, basically.
And is it still being run like that?
They've had a kind of like Niall Quinn, the ex footballer, he kind of came in and tried to clean up shop, and they're trying, but they just got caught in the Oireachtas committee last week. What was it again? They were given money. They were given COVID funding money, and they were told exclusively that is not to be used to pay off your debts. And then they're up in front of the committee last week. Did you use that money to pay off the debts? Yeah. And then the chief executive after was paying himself. He paid himself an extra 12,000 for holidays not taken.
But isn't it a shame, Stephen, to think that there would be kids out there who potentially could be great players and their talent is not nurtured, and they just, you know, they could be international players. Do you think that's possible here?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the most popular sport in this country, and when you look at GAA and rugby, they're way ahead with regards how the places are being run. And like GAA, I played like hurling as well at a decent enough level, but that at least you feel you're part of a community and it's an amateur sport, and look, it has its own issues, but it's a good organization to be part of, you know. It's more community based. But with soccer, it's just
football,
like,
is just a war every weekend. It was just a war. You go out to the like Neilstown, wherever the place is, and you just go out and just like, you're on some bobbly pitch.
Yeah, that's
you're getting raked.
Dog shit on
I played on a pitch, shit you not. I was under 10s.
Shit you not.
And I fell on the pitch and I came up and a shard of glass was sticking out my hand.
Yeah. That's the norm.
Well, Football Association of Ireland and all the executives at the top level, your behaviour obviously trickles down. Shame on you. We don't want you here.
It's a good segment.
You know, those people are going on like,
that tied up nicely.
Coming over here. We don't want you types in this country.
FAI, they blew €69,000 on John Delaney's 50th birthday
party.
There you
go. Thankfully, I was right.
John Delaney.
Yeah, and he was kind of like, I think he did well
Come
at the start,
podcast.
You know, because in the 90s and early 2000s, like there was so many great Irish players, like in the 80s. And stuff like that. And then I think recession happened in Ireland. I think John Delaney had ties to Fianna Fáil as well.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff like that. All the money gone.
69,000 on his birthday party.
Well.
I love 69,000. 70,000. No.
I think if you dig deeper, you would find bigger numbers. Yeah. 69 is just a party.
How long have we been broadcasting, Daniel?
2.5 hours.
51 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
And that's what What?
No, you're supposed to say it feels longer.
It feels longer, yeah.
Okay, do it again. How long have we been fucking recording for?
51 minutes.
It feels longer.
Oh, Hannah, stop it.
So you've got a big gig coming up in Liberty Hall.
Liberty Hall.
Have you played there before?
First time.
Is it your biggest gig?
Yeah, definitely.
What's your biggest? Have you done support for Joanne McNally?
Joanne, Des, Jason.
Where did you support Joanne?
I did Vicar Street, and I did the biggest room I did with her was I think it's like 2,000 seater, the big one in Castlebar, the Theatre Royal, is it?
Oh yeah, the Theatre Royal. Yeah. It's an odd little spot location. Yeah.
And I did the INEC with her once as well, the big room. They're mad. It's like out the other side of the country that we don't think, and then that these big venues exist, and then these are huge, massive barns.
I mean, Joanne McNally has reached stratospheric heights.
Ah, yeah.
She's reached heights that no other comedian have reached, Irish comedian anyway.
70 Vicar Street, is it?
On her tour. I mean, it's quite a phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when she was just coming up and, you know, oh, there's Joanne, you know. But then just seeing how her fans reacted to her, it reminded me of, like, the Beatles. Mm. The Beatles, you know, she was in Top Secret and just go, girls like that. Yeah. Like, it's like, whoa.
I remember the first time I did a Vicar Street for her, and I introduced her from the stage. And I went, oh my God. And I couldn't even, when I was trying to say her name, here she comes or whatever, like, you couldn't hear my voice on the microphone, on the whole PA system, you couldn't hear it.
Is that because they were screaming girls?
Screaming.
And she is connected in a big way. And I've said this before, but a part of my delight as regards her success is how many people think they're way better than her. And you're not.
Yeah. Or you just connect with the audience, and there is something.
Well, it goes. That's exactly what you were saying about earlier on. She's doing something for her audience. Like she knows what they like and what they
but
want.
But also, I saw her as well. I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, and she got really, really good. And she has her own particular style, which
totally,
is hugely important. I mean, people talk about jokes, but you know, having a style, a personal style, is very. There's a lot of good comedians who write good jokes, but their style is not very original.
Yeah.
And hers is. But, you know, obviously I can't give names, but there's a lot of fucking comedians who thought she was a pile of shite or didn't like her or whatever. And those comedians thought they were much better than her. And she has gone stratospheric. And they're still, you know, scrabbling around.
Yeah, I didn't know. I feel like I missed out on a lot of tensions on the Irish comedy scene because I kind of came back from London.
I'm a large part of the tension.
No shit.
Probably the singular real force. It's all in David's head.
No, but I like it. No, listen, you know, it's like any, you know, area. There's always competitiveness. I like the competitiveness. Do you know what I mean?
And
it's very, you know, Irish where you go, that fucking Stephen Mullen, he's a shit out of him. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
My podcast.
Yeah. No. Do you know what I mean, though? It's that kind of carry on. But
it's all.
But yeah, so it is amazing. I don't think there's been a bigger. Has there been a bigger Irish comedian?
Well, I think that she definitely smashed the record in Vicar Street, anyway, numbers wise.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But can we learn more about you, Stephen? So
how can you learn more about me?
Yeah. How did you
this is
start?
It.
Start in stand up.
Yeah.
Good question, Hannah.
Good question, Hannah.
What drew you?
I'm trying to remember.
What was it about when you saw, you know, like someone on stage and you thought to yourself, I could do that?
I honestly didn't. I never looked at stand-up comedy when I was growing up. Like, I was obsessed with sports, didn't do well in school, dropped out. And then it was through going back to school that I started to find creative world. And I ended up on an introduction to theatre and performance PLC course. Mm-hmm. And off the back of that, basically, Drew, a theatre company, hired me for a job. So I was in theatre.
Acting,
yeah, as an actor, which was like, that's quite the punt for somebody.
What's the woman's name?
Gary Hines.
Yeah, it's funny because Gary Hines, I think, is seeing someone romantically around this area. I haven't seen Gary Hines around here for a while. But there was one time her and her partner were walking up the street and there was a guy pissing and the two of them were like, like all shocked and thing. And then in my head, I was thinking, that's how I feel about your creative endeavors. You know what I mean? Now you know how it feels, Gary Hines.
Thanks for giving me a chance, Gary.
No, Gary.
But it was quite the punt, to be fair. Yeah. Like, I was like somebody out of nowhere, like, yeah. And I wasn't an actor. I hadn't acted before. And then from there, I got a couple of bits and parts in films.
What was the play you were in?
It was called Big Maggie. Aisling O'Sullivan played the lead.
Oh, God. I have to say that Aisling O'Sullivan, she is some actor. She's powerful. She just has that look.
Mm.
You know, you remember Jerry McSorley?
Yeah. Mm.
Or Gleason?
Brendan.
Brendan Gleason. Yeah. They just had, there's something commanding about him. And Aisling O'Sullivan is in that. She does look quite, I mean, she has a very mental look. Yeah. You just look at her and you go, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't fucking mess with her.
And she's powerful, yeah.
She's powerful. She's a great actor. I mean, it's funny that, I wonder, like, why isn't she much bigger than, or is she big?
She's big in theatre, but not. She's an amazing theatre actor. Like, it's completely intimidating. Yeah, like, yeah. She's a powerhouse.
Yeah,
and watching her and Gary, because
did you ever ride a powerhouse? Did you?
Did you ever get a ride?
It's funny when people say,
a crush in our work.
She's no oil painting, or he's no oil painting. Mm. Did you ever ride a fucking oil painting before it dried? Like, you'd be fucking ruined, huh? Anyway, so you had a crush on Aisling O'Sullivan?
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, yeah, working with her, and then. And then,
and go on.
Did you do the thing your chairman did you?
I got someone else to send messages.
What does Aisling, is she working in film now? Do Aisling O'Sullivan IMDb and see what films she's working in?
Yeah, she's definitely done a few other bits in recent years with Drew that were quite popular.
Hmm.
With Dervla Crotty and Maureen.
She's best known for Raw, that show about the clinic. She was in Michael Collins as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but anything... yeah, but something international or more up-to-date.
The Sparrow?
Okay. So, anyway, Aisling, I think you'd be brilliant in loads of stuff. What the fuck? Get a new agent. Sort your shit out.
She's a theatre actor, mate, you know? That's her thing, you know?
She'd start, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. Who cares?
She's got integrity. She doesn't go for the shitty and that's TV the thing. Shows, movies.
And that's why she's no house.
There's too much reverence paid to these actors, let's be honest. You know, they're not as, you know, the film actors. Like, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when people look up to them. Should we really look up to them?
No.
No, definitely not.
No, definitely
you look
not.
Up to Leonardo.
You're right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you little bastard.
You know, the most popular, influential public person, like, it's Tyler Swift.
Tyler Swift.
What name a song by Taylor Swift?
I actually can't.
I'm Tyler Swift. Ready to.
I actually can't.
I'm going to buy myself flowers.
No.
I'm going to buy myself
flowers.
That's
no. not.
That's okay, yeah, but look. Cyrus. Look, this is for the girls. I'm going to buy myself flowers. What is it, Jack? Because I don't need the validation.
I can buy myself flowers.
I can buy myself flowers. Because I don't. I love myself. Ah! Ah! Hello. Yeah, this is the florist. You've been listening to Miley Cyrus, haven't you? You fucking gobshite. Would you fuck off?
Oh, God.
I can buy myself flowers.
Oh, God.
Tits.
Yeah.
Go on.
I don't even know where we are.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you were saying that you got some film work.
Oh, yeah. Just little. I suppose.
No such thing as a small part.
Well, I'll tell you how small this part was. My first time on a film set was doing a scene. I was just a guy on reception with Juliette Binoche, the Oscar woman, right? Mm. Never been in a film
what,
set before.
What was the film?
A Thousand Times Good Night. She played a wartime photographer. And this is how small this part was. The whole sequence got cut from the film.
So. Now, Juliette Binoche was in Chocolat.
She won the Oscar for The English Patient.
That's right. Yeah, Juliette Binoche.
There's an actor with integrity, I would say.
Juliette Binoche. What's her name?
Binoche.
I'm thinking of Juliette Binoche.
Binoche.
She's the producer on The Savage Eye. I think she's going out with... go on.
Yeah, Mr. Gleason.
How do you know her?
From another film called Get Up and Go. She was the producer on that. And anyway, so
we didn't get on.
Moving on.
So how did you end up doing stand-up?
So I the acting thing kind of, I moved to London to pursue the acting thing and it didn't really go anywhere. I actually got sacked off a job. It wasn't my fault. It was Irish speaking. Somebody thought I could do it. They weren't happy with how I was doing it. I was mortified and I was like, I'm never doing it again. And I was working in kitchens. I was working in a restaurant. I was cooking and all that stuff. And I came back for my mother's 60th and I did a funny speech at her 60th and I made people laugh at it. And then my dad, of course, going, I'm telling you, you should be doing stand-up years. And I just went back.
Is that how your dad talks?
No, but I turn it up to annoy him.
Right.
He's not that bad. But I went back to London and just started on the open mic scene in London and died in my hole for
Was he actually? The father was supportive.
Was he actually telling you to do stand-up for years?
I don't quite remember, but like we had quite a fractious relationship growing up, and because my dad was an evangelical preacher when I was growing up.
What?
Yeah, he's not.
What's evangelical? That means that the part of your remit is to convince other people. You have to go out and canvass.
Yeah, I suppose. Like when I was a toddler, he would have been evangelizing on the streets of Cork City in the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, so I remember sitting on a crate like 3-4 and he was there, Jesus loves you and this is what the cross means.
And you haven't been talking about this in your set?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then you just don't listen to them. And then but I remember sitting as a toddler, right, and like alcoholics or homeless people walking by going, Jesus is a bollocks, you know. And I remember this one guy going, hello little man, coming up to me, and he's like, why doesn't he talk back to me? And my father going, because you're scaring him.
Yeah.
But I was used to that. It's an unusual upbringing, but yeah, it's, as I say to my dad, we're sure we're doing the same thing. We're both talking shite into a microphone, you know.
Well, it's
does he do now? Did he stop?
Now he runs a social entrepreneurship in Smithfield called Third Space. It's like a cafe restaurant, and it's very like very community based. There's no religious affiliation.
What's a social entrepreneur?
Basically, the kind of ethos of the place they might hire people who don't. Might not normally get hired, or they don't have opportunities in work because of whatever personal issues they have, and they would spend extra time with them to kind of give them work opportunities. But also the profits of the business go back into the community. So
how do they make money?
It's a restaurant. It's a working cafe restaurant. Oh. So the money goes back into helping community projects or helping or fundraising for things that are going on in the area and stuff like that.
So how does he make money then?
He just gets a wage, like.
Oh.
That's it. Not pretty much.
And is he still religious?
Yeah, but not. He's not working in organized. My mom and him would still be very. They would still be very with their faiths. They'd be still very practicing. But they're not heavily involved with a church or anything anymore. Because now they have three kids who have nothing to do with it. So,
this is a wild guess. Was your dad on some mission to us? Argentina, and they met there.
Yeah, they met on a ship.
Oh, well done, John.
Yeah. So there was two ships that I think there's only one of them now, but two ships used to travel the world spreading the good news.
Oh, okay.
My mom joined it from Argentina. My dad joined it from Glasgow. I think he was in Glasgow at the time, and that's how they met. They lived in Argentina for a year and decided.
How did they meet on what ship? I mean, the ship sailed to Argentina. Your dad was on it.
Yeah, well, it traveled the world. Yeah. And people would live
spreading
on the ship.
Good news.
Basically, they would stop off in ports and they'd help churches in whatever city they stopped in or whatever like that and do.
What year was that?
When they met early 80s, 1980 maybe.
What size was the ship?
I don't know, but there was. My mom lived on it for 3 years, like along with a lot of other people.
How big was the fucking ship?
You don't know the ship. Hands.
There was probably the ship. Ship.
He doesn't know the ship that he was conceived on. Huh?
Oh no, geez, they wouldn't have done that, Dave.
They would have ridden on the ship.
Rocket or not?
They
rode on the ship, and the knight Stephen Ireland was conceived.
Yeah, I think I was conceived in Buenos Aires, but anyway.
So that's it. So you don't know how big the ship is, and who came up with that idea? I wish I came up with that.
There's
idea.
Two of them. They're...
I'd be like that. Yeah, no, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, come on in. You're cute.
That's
yeah. No, have a cabin there. Oh, it's just beside mine. How did that happen?
That's a
the cult
of McSavage. I'd say I'd be called Dave.
The Scientology. What was your man's name?
Elon.
Dave, Sea Org. Your dad was in Sea Org.
What's Sea Org?
Sea Org from Scientology. Because the original thing in Scientology. What was his name? Ron Hubbard. L. Ron Hubbard. He had a big boat and he dressed like a captain or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. And you can't be too critical of a Scientologist or they'll fucking go after
but
you.
But the leader now is called David Miscavige.
Oh yeah, Miscarriage.
You're joking me.
Like Mike Savage, but Miscavige.
Miscavige.
Have we told your family what my daughter calls you?
Oh, what's that? Oh, yes.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Go on.
She's a big fan of... We watched that Amazon show that David was on. We love it. We watched it about 10 times because we keep watching it back and finding all the little bits of people. But she calls him David McSandwich.
How old is she?
6. Aww. Yeah, yeah. That's, so she's a big fan.
That's rude, Hannah.
Because you've been eating constantly.
Exactly. And he's eating... Why is he eating beans out of his pocket, Daddy?
Because
it's David McSandwich.
Like,
and then David video calls her and does his fake crying. And she's like, stop it. He's not really sad. And I'm like, he is deep down.
So, moving along from that shite story.
Yeah, no one gives a fuck about your kid.
So are you going to have more kids?
How many kids do you have? Just one?
I have one, yeah. I'm single, so I don't know if anybody...
So where's the mother?
Do we want to talk about this?
And we're going to start a podcast, me and her, called, and that's why we're definitely not going to be together ever again. We're just not together, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Have you found love? Are you open to meeting new love?
I'm definitely. It's on and off. It's hard when you've got kids with somebody else. I find.
Yeah, because
they're always going to come behind your daughter.
Do you? What?
No, oh, because that's,
you mean that sexual you nut job.
No, your daughter comes first.
My daughter comes first. Now. Yeah. Now that word's in our head. Can we stop recording this?
But in other words, because
my daughter is my priority.
If you're dating. If you've seen seen a woman, you know, you want her to hang out, and you don't have to schedule things. But when you've got your child, you have to schedule things.
I think it's going to be hard for the prospective partner to realize that, like, I've got my work is unsociable hours, and then, sorry, I've got a puking 6-year-old or whatever like that. I won't be seeing you this evening. I'm sure. Now, some people do it, and actually, single mothers are very understanding.
But I think also, you know, it's nice at our age, you know, when you get a bit older, you don't want to be living in someone's
each pocket
either.
No,
it's
not.
It's nice to have, you know, space to do your own thing and so on.
I don't know if I'd have more kids. Would you have more kids?
I definitely
can
have.
Can you have more kids?
Oh!
I would have more kids, yeah. No, I think I'm too old now.
It's but, not too old. You're not able to look after them. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Yes, you did. You're probably right. What was it like? Would that be
a competition, David. You don't like it.
Huh?
A children, a competition to you.
Oh. Were you surprised? When you had a kid, like, did it change? Why is this a fucking...
I said no, because when you had a kid, were you surprised?
Were you surprised? I'm trying to ask if
I get what he's trying to say, but I didn't go...
How is comedy in London or England? You said you started over there. How was it? Was it difficult?
Yeah, I think, like, I was leaving anyway. I just, it happened that an opportunity came up to come home. I am happy raising my daughter in Ireland, but it's very, very different. And I struggle with was, like, off the stage, it's just more crack here. I was going to go, I was thinking of moving to Glasgow or Liverpool or something like that. I love London. I love it, but there's not much crack in the city. Do you know what I mean?
I love the way when people say they love London. What part of London?
Yeah.
A lot of London. Oh, that's amazing. But you can just look at these great buildings. You can't go inside them. Yeah. It's like, what's the fucking point?
To live there,
and then Hannah, you were going out with the guy from Croydon and what? She can do the joke. Go on. It's just what you just have to do it.
I cried on myself to sleep.
And that's a good joke. At night. Yeah, yeah. At night, I was crying myself to sleep.
Hey, sir, is Hannah still doing her minute of stand-up?
No, I gave it up. I couldn't anymore. No, because too much pressure.
Just write a few more names.
No, but she was so. You could see Hannah was in such pain.
I was.
It was so cruel.
I loved
it.
You were cruel, yeah.
Yeah, I was cruel, but you could see Hannah's...
But also, you know, everybody said I had not... You know, like, if you go on stage, you need to your crowd be warmed up.
Yeah.
You need to have a good introduction.
Yeah.
You have good support.
Yeah.
You have people like you.
Yes.
So I had all those adverse...
Yeah, you're up against
around.
It.
I was
you need to actually tell a joke.
Didn't like me. I wasn't well introduced. And
I think you were so up against it in the elements here that if you probably went to a club like tonight, you'd kill it. You'd probably kill, yeah.
I don't know about it.
Any news about Nicolas Cage, Jack, Daniel?
My favourite section of the show.
Daniel.
Yes.
Okay, come on.
Yes.
A, B, C, why is Daniel not on the microphone?
Yes.
Wait for it.
I'll keep going. I'll come in. That's all you have to do.
Okay, go on.
Nicolas
Cage news.
Yeah, he's Nicolas Cage is actually
trivia about Nicolas Cage. Nothing trivial about Nicolas Cage.
He's in talks with Sony and Amazon about doing a live action Spider-Man noir show.
Yeah.
So like he'd be reprising his role from Spider-Man across the universe, across the Spider-Verse. And
sorry, if Hannah could get off Tinder while we're doing this, please, that'd be great.
Every opportunity is good opportunity.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Sorry, Daniel.
No, it's all good. It's all good. And so he might actually be playing in a TV show, and that'd be interesting.
Did we not talk about that before, Jack? Daniel?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. This is
I watched a Nicolas Cage movie during the week, The Croods. I didn't realize he played the dad.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, it's like apparently one of his most successful films, I think.
Really?
Yeah, like in terms of box office, yeah.
It's funny, I heard Brendan Gleeson talking about doing kids movies and people criticizing him or something, and he made a really good point, because like when you're a kid, like watching a film, it's like such a mind-blowing experience.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's beautiful. Yeah. And it's such a little delicate, sensitive part of a human's life. And he was saying it's a privilege to be part of that, which I thought was a very sweet thing to say.
We went to the cinema. I went to cinema twice with my daughter during the week, speaking of like childhood experience in the cinema, to see Migration, the new movie. And then she loved it so much, she wanted to go see it again. So we went 2 days later to see it again. Is it called 4KD or something like that, which is basically you've got the 3D glasses on for the film, but then you're sitting in these chairs and the chairs move.
Ah, yeah.
And then there's smoke, and then when in the movie when they get to Jamaica, they let off the smell and it's all really sweet and all that. Oh, it was brilliant.
It's like 4D or something.
Yes,
like
four, and then they spray four, water 4D, at you when you. Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah.
I love taking that, Daniel.
I went to one of those, but I went to Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, cool. That'd be brilliant.
It was kind of fun. I mean, I don't know. It was a bit silly though.
It's like
you're being
fun.
Thrown around like in your chair, like while like dinosaurs are coming through the screen or whatever. Like you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
But I love taking Jack and Daniel to the cinema, and you take them to something that they shouldn't really be seeing, and they'd be just so little, their little eyes, and you'd hold them. Aww.
No, but like you wouldn't take them to something
to The Exorcist. Yeah, Exorcist.
Oh. I just remember taking Jack and Daniel to cinema, like watching kids' movies, and then halfway through, you'll be having a nap.
You have a nap, yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
They're only little lumps.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Hannah would have the nap.
Jack, thank you, Daniel. Conspiracy Please. Corner.
Did This better not be about Hitler in Argentina.
Oh, shit. I'll change it. All these TikTok dances, you know, all these dance trends, they're there for a purpose, you know. Like, where did they all come from, you know? Uh-huh. Like, where did they come from? Well, what they're actually doing is they're gathering loads of data for the robots that they're going to build. So all the, like, movements of the dances, you know, and then they're harvesting all this data so that they could create, like, so it's going to be like iRobot, the movie, you know?
Right.
All these, like, real fluid robots.
Okay. Mm.
And maybe something will happen, maybe it won't, but...
Do you mean that the algorithm on TikTok is making them...
So you see the way... So see the dances, the trends on TikTok.
Yeah.
So people have all these trends on TikTok. So,
yeah.
So they're like, you know, moving their bodies in certain ways. You know, you look at the dances, they're a bit weird. They're like, I'm going to do this arm
robotic,
and like
go
like this. And like they're not, it's not really dancing really. It's kind of just weird movements.
Okay.
So they're getting all the movements of a human being through the things.
Who are?
The people who are trying to enslave everyone.
Yeah.
Society.
Okay.
Yeah, the one who rules you, rules me, rules us, and they know more than we do.
But if you imagine, if you were going to create, you know, if you're going to, like, because, you know, when people do, like, CGI, and they're creating, they wear the bubbles on them.
To
get the motion capture.
Yes.
So it's kind of like motion capture, but on a global, grander scale, so that you get all the movements. Because if you imagine you want to make an AI robot that was like a human, you would need to get all the movements gathered through data.
Oh my God.
And then create it. Anyway, that's conspiracy corner for this week.
Okay, well,
it's hard to, yeah.
Robots, artificial intelligence, they're just going to start entertaining themselves, and we will be just sidelined. We will be just, an amusement. We'll be like Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Oh, we would be like in a cage. You know, amuse us.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was that show about called Robots, and the robots looked the exact same as humans, but they were being discriminated against because they're robots. You know.
Yeah.
Like, would you discriminate against a robot that looked like a human?
Oh Christ! God. I mean, I discriminate. I mean, we humans fucking hate each other, so you know what I mean. Okay, so Stephen,
thank you, Jack.
Can I just say that?
For lightening the mood.
I would like to.
Where's the cardamom buns?
I just would like to say to our audience that we reading the comments, and we would like more comments, and people say what they want, what they want to see. Their opinion, and I would like to read one from the Neo I Movie Man. But he said, I love the family, blah blah blah. David Over.
Speak it up. Speak.
Okay.
Jesus Hannah Christ, Hannah. Hannah. Just say this is a message written by thing, and then just read it.
Are you mansplaining? You know, I just wanted to get over a little
That's
bit.
That's your favorite phrase, mansplaining.
I love this family.
Wait. Just go now.
Okay.
Who's it from?
the number one movie man.
God, I could.
That's a little slap.
I love this family. Hannah is absolutely ripping it out of David Over, the new girlfriend. It's so funny as he's trying not to react. Haha. By the way, when are we going to see Fiona O'Shaughnessy on the podcast? David promised us she would make an appearance. I'm starting to think Fiona is dodging a bullet from her perspective.
Okay, well, Fiona, you know what Fiona, she's very ethereal. It's like trying to capture Bigfoot, you know what I mean? Is she there? Is she? They see her here, they see her there. Is it? But, you know, Fiona may or may not make an appearance, you know what I mean?
You can watch her on the new season of Halo.
Oh, yes, you can please watch Fiona O'Shaughnessy in the new season of Halo. Actually, is it good, Daniel?
Well, she's actually doing like combat moves and stuff.
No way.
Yeah, she is, yeah. It's kind of funny, yeah.
And you like Halo, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I like the game, like where it originally came from.
What's Fiona's character's name?
I can't remember exactly. It's
super floaty, isn't she?
Yeah, like I don't know. She's like the wife of a pirate captain or
something. So my ex girlfriend is the wife of a pirate captain in the hugely popular series Halo. When is it on Amazon Prime?
I think it's Paramount Plus. Okay. I think.
And she's doing better than me.
She's no integrity. Oh,
you shouldn't compare yourself to anyone else because you are unique and you've got your own path in life. You've got your own challenges.
As she says, you are unique.
Okay, so can we talk about Stephen Mullen? Where is your are your tour dates on our website?
Yeah, thestephenmullen.com. All the tour dates are on.
And the big gig you want to sell out is
Dublin Liberty Hall, April 12th. I feel the pressure.
So, you know, this is the biggest gig that Stephen's done. Yeah. I've seen Stephen many, many times. More times than I cared.
And he's listened to my material. Your dad's a preacher, is he?
And he's the future. And he's brilliant. You have to go and see it. Like, you have to. You don't just sit there and be all passive. Go and get a fucking ticket.
Click the buttons.
Buy a fucking ticket. Oh, no, or else pay for your fucking license fee.
Yeah.
That's true. You don't. Do you want to pay your license fee?
Do you want to pay Toy Show the Musical or go and see Stephen and support your local comedian? Mm. You ungrateful bastard.
Yes, and click light. Light. Like.
Like.
And subscribe.
This is wonderful.
So thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, my princess Jack, my princess Daniel. Someday this kingdom will be yours. And my beautiful partner, ex-wife, mother of my children, Hannah Dignat.
Dignaton.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.